Welcome back to Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. Make sure to throw me a follow on Twitter at Zach_Goodall, as well as at the Locked On Jaguars handle at Locked On Jaguars. We are posting all of our stuff there, our podcasts, articles, all the stuff you need to cover this Jaguars team. I am joined by my co-host, Chris Thornton, who you can follow at Misto Christopho. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, alive and well.
That's great. We are ready to go ahead and dive into this episode. We have a special guest with us tonight. We are joined by Dr. Aaron Bates of Southeast Orthopedic Specialists. We are going to be breaking down some cool stuff. He's got a past covering working with teams, the Jacksonville Jaguars obviously being one of them, as a doctor for the team, as well as several other teams, and a big background obviously in the medical field. Dr. Bates, how are you doing tonight?
Great, thanks for having me.
We really appreciate having you on. We're going to dive in on some of the history you have, maybe some cool stories that you've got when you specifically worked with the Jaguars. And then after that, we'll break off for a quick break. And when we come back, we will also be talking about, obviously, the guy everyone wants to talk about when it comes to Jaguars injuries right now, that being Leonard Fournette. And we'll dive into that in the second segment. But sure. Dr. Bates, go ahead and give us kind of a background as to some of the stuff you've done in terms of sports medicine, some teams you worked with, and obviously where you're at right now in your career.
Well, first of all, during my fellowship training in Houston, Texas, we had a chance to, for that year, help take care of the Houston Texans and the Houston Astros, the Houston Dynamo, which is the soccer team, the professional soccer team there, and then all of University of Houston athletics. And that was a really good experience on that level. And I've always kind of taken care of high school football and high school sports throughout my training, throughout my career in medicine, and particularly in orthopedic surgery. And so when I was here initially with another group, helped cover the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2013. The first year we went over to London and to play the San Francisco 49ers. And so that was a very good experience as well. It's totally different, the different levels when you just talk about taking care of professional football versus college versus high school and peewee. There's a lot of things involved. There's a lot of times with the younger athletes, you're taking care of not only the athlete but their parents as well. So and the parents' anxiety about the athlete's injury. But our goal is always to return athletes to the field, to the court, wherever, as safe and as quickly as possible. But again, as safely as possible.
Now, I'm sure there's a lot of things that kind of go on behind the scenes when it comes to taking care of these athletes. And like you said, it's different on every level. But especially when it comes to professional, you know, a lot of fans tend to think they might be an expert on an injury when in reality they aren't seeing what's going on behind the scenes. So I guess, you know, kind of give us a look into that. What do fans, obviously not being a doctor themselves, miss out on when they're trying to analyze things, when they're watching, you know, these injuries happen on tape, as we've seen throughout the year, Marquise Lee going down with an unspecified knee injury, Cam Robinson's ACL recovery, Fournette, all these different types of things?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's what the fans see and then what they don't see. And then on the flip side of things, there's the actual injury and taking care of the athlete as a patient, first and foremost. And then there's the business side of the medical condition or the injury. And so sometimes those lines get crossed, sometimes those lines get blurred. And so there could be some issue with that. So, you know, back in the locker room, in the athletic training room, and on initial evaluation, you're just trying to figure out what's wrong. What do we have to deal with to get them back out on the field? and so, you know, there's a lot of things that goes into the physical exam, as well as imaging studies and things like that. And so. But there's always the agent in the background as well as the organization, trying to figure out when we're going to get the athlete back on the field. And sometimes those think that there's a conflict between those two. And so as the medical doctor, the team doctor for the organization, we kind of have to think of both, but first and foremost, we treat the athlete. I mean, trying to make sure that the athlete is taken care of just like we would take care of any other patient.
And I'm sure that does, you know, apply a good amount of pressure on you or any doctor for that matter. Granted, as you said, the most important thing there is taking care of the athlete and the person who's injured in this situation. But I'd have to figure with these multi-billion dollar organizations looking upon you and the services that you provide, that'd provide a lot of pressure on you.
Yeah, that's correct. It does. I mean, and not even on the, you know, professional level. I mean, it goes down to college and high school as well. But of course, probably most pressure would be at the, you know, professional level, because that's the most money involved in for all parties. So yeah, it can be somewhat stressful, but so long as we keep the athlete first and foremost in our mind and the athlete's well-being, then you really just can't go wrong there.
Now, I know there are definitely rules to it in terms of keeping people anonymous and with injuries and that kind of stuff. But if you had to look back on your career and working with sports teams, really at any level, what would you say was, I don't want to word it as the most difficult injury to treat, but kind of the one that sticks out most to you in terms of the actual injury occurring itself and the way you treated it in terms of getting that athlete on the road to recovery?
Well, the most frequent ones that, you know, that are season enders are, you know, the ACL tears. And what people don't understand is not every ACL tear is the same, right? There's a lot of other associated injuries to the knee that you can have along with an ACL tear that may delay return to sport in certain circumstances. Or if it's just an isolated ACL, then that may get them another patient, another athlete back quicker. And so those are, I wouldn't say easy to treat. I mean, we treat those all the time, but it's probably one of the most difficult for the layperson to understand, as far as why a athlete is not returning to the field or to the court or wherever.
Now, you mentioned the ACL tear. That will go ahead and take us right into our break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about a couple key Jaguars that have been injured this year. There's Leonard Fournette with the hamstring injuries. There's Marquise Lee with the unspecified ligament damage to his knee. And Cam Robinson, where they came out and stated that he did officially have an ACL tear. When we come back, we'll get to just about all of that.
You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game, live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to give everyone the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate this offer. Visit MyBookie today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. If you're willing to hold out until 7 p.m., you get an extra $25 free play by using promo code LOCKEDON and add 25 at the end of it. If it's up to you guys, but I'd wait until after dinner to take extra money. You play, You win, you get paid. We all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on our favorite team. With Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. Now, Dr. Bates, you said that all ACL tears aren't the same, and that's definitely true because you can have maybe partial tears, full tears, stuff like that. In the instance of a guy like Cam Robinson, who's just a mountain of a man, how can you just kind of talk to us how maybe an ACL tear for a guy like that might be different than a guy maybe like Marquise Lee, although we don't know the significant, or we know that he had significant knee damage. We don't know the exact details, but how is a guy like an offensive lineman, how are ACL tears kind of rehab differently for them compared to kind of smaller guys like athletes, like wide receivers and stuff?
Well, the difference between the skill position players and the linemen are that, you know, skill position players are doing a lot more cutting, pivoting, jumping, lateral movement types, and the interior linemen are doing a lot more pushing around. And so once you're able to stabilize the knee enough so that they can feel like they can get back to, you know, hitting and pushing another player around, they may not be cutting and pivoting, but they don't do that much anyway. So it's somewhat, I would say, quote unquote, easier and quicker for an interior lineman to get back to play on in general than a skill position when you have an ACL tear. And that's all comers. If you balance or you you take the same type of ACL tear in each player. All right. So now Marquise Lee, I have no idea what all is going on in his knee. I only see what you guys saw. So, because I don't take care of the Jaguars. So I can only speculate that he at least has an ACL tear. It looks to me that he had more of a knee dislocation type of injury, which would involve more than just one ligament. Torn. He may have a PCL tear. He may have an MCL or LCL tear. So, and then he may have other injuries to other structures in the knee, like the cartilage or and or the menisci. And so all those things need to be addressed when taking care of a athlete with that type of injury. So I would imagine that it would take Marquise Lee a little longer to get back to his position playing 100% than to an interior lineman.
And that's another thing that people don't see is the road to recovery for these guys. Obviously, some players do document their recovery stages, much like Teddy Bridgewater when he was with the Vikings. People knew how he was recovering because his injury was so, you know, out of the blue, the non-contact on turf where he had to take almost 2 years to recover. But when you look at an injury like whether it be Cam Robinson's where we know it's the ACL tear or Marquise Lee, where, like you said, we have to speculate that all these different things could be happening. What is the road to recovery like for these types of injuries? You know, how quick is this process? Because there seems to be kind of some people view it as, oh, this is a type of injury that can derail a guy's career. And then you see guys like Allen Robinson come back and be fully healthy, or Carson Wentz coming back and looking at least fully healthy from what we've seen so far.
Yeah, so a lot of it depends on what concomitant injury there is in the knee. So if it's just an isolated ACL, well, you have a high rate of return to sport activity at the same level. If there's a if there's cartilage damage or if there's meniscus damage, well, then there's a question of, will this athlete be able to get back to be as good as they were before? And how long will that take? That's typically a delayed process, or it can be a delayed process. And so what we first do is, because sometimes, many times we don't operate immediately. We need to get swelling down. We need to get range of motion back in the knee and all of those things, because we know, and studies have shown us over the years, that folks will have a better outcome that way, because you have a better environment inside the knee joint to work in. A lot of times when we've operated on them too soon, they get something called arthrofibrosis, which is scarring in the knee, and that can limit range of motion and can really delay recovery. And so there's a lot of other things that we may do that delays the initial surgery. Now, postoperatively, it's all about getting swelling down and start getting range of motion and then beginning to get the muscles and all the soft tissues around the knee to recover and the muscles to start to contract. And so there's really nowadays accelerated rehab programs for that.
Now, the question on almost all Jags fans' minds right now is the health and condition of the former fourth overall pick, Leonard Fournette. We know he tweaked that hamstring in the first game of the season, and he missed 2 weeks, two full games, and almost the whole Giants game. Comes back last week against the Jets and immediately re-aggravates it and is now out indefinitely. Just with your experience and your history with just athletes, can you just kind of tell us how serious or how nagging these hamstrings can be, and maybe the best course of action could be for Leonard Fournette moving forward?
Certainly. Hamstring injuries in and of themselves can be very nagging, particularly on those skilled position athletes and football players. So, and I don't know Fournette's history, like, did he have a hamstring injury while he was at LSU? But I would imagine he may have, because I know he was kind of injury prone when he was there as well. But anytime you have a hamstring injury, you're more apt to have another hamstring injury and continue to have them over time. And him coming back in the Jets game, you know, kind of showed us he probably came back a little too soon. And a lot of times we don't know. We don't know when to say, okay, when is he good? He may feel good running drills in practice, but game time speed is different, is always going to be different than practice. And so you can't really put the stress on any part of your body as much as you can while you're in the game. So I believe this will always be a nagging injury for him. Now, how long is it going to take for him to get back? We don't know. Now, there are studies that show that initially it showed that MRI can help us determine, well, how long is this going to take? Is it going to take 2 weeks, 4 weeks, or 6 weeks, depending on the grade of injury to the hamstring it is, or where the injury in the hamstring is it at the muscle belly, or is that where the muscle and the tendon come together, or is it in the tendon, and is that going to determine recovery? Well, there are other studies that negate that. They basically say you can't really tell. So it's a day by day, week by week type of thing. We just have to figure out how he's doing. So it's very tough to say, all right, which Fournette's going to be good in 4 weeks, or Fournette's going to be good in 2 weeks. Very difficult to tell. And so obviously, you know, he wasn't ready this past week. I think everybody would agree with that if he tweaked it again. But, you know, we just never know.
Now, this might be a silly question, but it just kind of came into my mind. You mentioned about Fournette being somewhat injury prone when he was at LSU. All of those injuries were to the lower body. There was the ankle. There was something else that I'm blanking on right now. And there's another player on the team who has a similar history throughout his NFL career with consistent lower body injuries, that being Dante Moncrief, the receiver. Now, while they are different injuries throughout the lower body, can one often lead to another in a way?
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. I think, just like any lay person who has, a tweaked a knee, they may start having hip problems on the opposite hip because you change your gait. Well, it's going to be the same for a high-level athlete. If you have an injury, an active injury to an ankle or to a calf or something like that, can that put more strain on your hamstring? Certainly, because you may overcompensate. Is this what happened in his case? I don't know. He looked good the first game, but I don't know if this was a predisposing injury for him, for his hamstring, because of his other injuries. You may say that, or you may think that that's what it was, but if he was looking good before then, it may just be that because he may have injured it in the past, he was more prone to that same injury.
That makes 100% sense. And I think that would just about do it for us here. Dr. Bates, we truly appreciate having you on, getting some insight from you. And I'm sure as the season goes on, other injuries start to happen. We'd love to have you back for more of your analysis and insight.
Oh, I love it. I appreciate you guys having me.
And you guys can be sure to find Dr. Bates with Southeast Orthopedics. If you guys need any work done, be sure to check him out. As for us, that should just about do it. Stick around for tomorrow's episode. We'll be doing some, head-to-head matchups in this Jaguars versus Chiefs game, considering the firepower on the Chiefs offense and how dynamic this Jaguars defense is. We are truly in for a show this upcoming Sunday. You can make sure to find all the podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, just about anywhere you can hear podcasts. Follow the Locked On Jaguars handle for constant updates on our podcasts and articles. Check out the website, LockedOnJaguars.com. And follow us on Twitter at @Zach_Goodall, Misto Cristofo, and Locked On Jaguars. We will catch up with you guys tomorrow.